that we have as families. 1 Peter 2 is where we're going to start tonight. And think a little bit about the imagery here as Christ as a living stone. Starting in verse 4 of 1 Peter 2. As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is a time of year when, of course, a lot of people are thinking about Jesus. And I think our world today really likes to think of Jesus as the little baby Jesus, and the Jesus who is in some ways sort of helpless and in a weak situation. That is not what the Bible spends a lot of time dealing with in terms of Christ and who He is. This is a very important concept about Jesus here in this passage. Jesus is a living stone. A living stone, which is an interesting thing. I don't think much about stones being alive. I don't look at rocks and think about those things being alive. But as we hear about this living stone in this passage, it brings to mind an image of a living stone being part of a spiritual house, something that is alive. Building is something we see all through the Bible. And building and the idea of what a building is an easy to grasp concept for us. I don't know about you, but I know I was talking to somebody right before church about being simple-minded. Aren't we often pretty simple-minded? And we need simple ways to understand the truths of God's Word. God uses this building concept over and over again. In Psalm 127, God tells us, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain." It's important for us to understand that God is involved in building. And we are a part of the building process as God is building something special. And tonight, a little bit, I want us to stop and just think about, how are we, like Jesus, living stones? How are we precious to God in that way? What is it about us that makes us a part of this living building, this spiritual house concept that God talks about here in this passage through Peter? Go over to Ephesians 2 for just a minute, and I want to touch on a similar passage where I think it's noteworthy for us to stop here and just realize what God is seeing in us and who we are to Him in terms of our the building material that we are in this spiritual house He's talking about. Verse 19 starting. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." God has chosen us today. I believe that God, in a special way, chooses His people to serve Him and become something different than they were before. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a moment when you struggle to see your own value or see yourself honestly. Has anybody in here ever struggled? So maybe you ask somebody that you live with, "Hey, how do I look? Do I look okay?" And they say, "Oh, you look great." And in about the next 5 minutes, you go look in a mirror because you really don't trust them very much. And you say, "What are you talking about? You said I look great. Look, this looks terrible on me. I'm going to change right now." Has that ever happened in your house, ladies? Anyway, and you know, sometimes, although we have a sense that, you know, God believes in us, it's hard for us to see ourselves as valuable as God sees us. Are you thankful tonight for having a God who sees you in a more valuable way than you see yourself? I am. I'm very thankful for that. Because if it were left up to me, there would certainly be moments in time when I would just quit the whole thing. I would quit trying. Because I know the mistakes that I make. And I don't tend to make new mistakes each time. I tend to make the same old mistakes over and over. Is that you? Or is that just me? And God says, "I want to build you into something special. And I'm building you on top of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Himself is the chief cornerstone." That's an idea I really think we can stop and think about. God is redeeming us. He's changing our value. And He's making out of us something we couldn't be without Him. He's making us into part of a spiritual house. And He uses us to offer sacrifices pleasing to Him, to be part of this priesthood that it's going to talk about, that we already read about here a little bit, a holy priesthood back in 1 Peter 2. And we're making a sacrifice to God. What is the sacrifice we're making? It's us. The sacrifice we make is us. We bring ourselves to the altar and we become what God wants us to be. And in that way, we become part of a spiritual house, not because we're so deserving of it or because we were so great to begin with, but because God sees in us a value of what we can be. A value of what we can be when brought together to be part of this spiritual household. Turn back over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Back down in verse 6, I want to read a few more verses here and get this concept that hopefully is the central concept for us tonight. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Jesus has become the cornerstone, the capstone, also known as the rock of stumbling or offense, as some passages lay it out. The builders, you see, rejected Him. But what about those builders? What were they? Who were the people who rejected Jesus? It wasn't the lost people in the world. It was the religious people of Jesus' day. It was the people who claimed to be faithful to God, who claimed to be God's very own people, those who belonged to Him. And they should have been looking for Him, and they should have been ready for Him, and they should have been prepared for Him. They should have been waiting for Him to come into their life and be the cornerstone for all things. They had been told about Him ahead of time. What is a cornerstone? Is anybody here? You ever seen a cornerstone on a building? You ever been to a building and seen one of those? Nowadays, they're mostly decorative. If you've done any building, you know that. They are put in a building, but the building is laid out in any number of other means. If you've ever been to a construction site, nowadays they use lasers. Have you seen that? And they lay everything out by a laser line, and that tells you where everything was going. Early, though, this was not how construction was done. There was a cornerstone, and that stone was squared up. That stone was the squarest thing in that building, laid out to help show everybody this is how the building is to lay. This is where this line goes, this is where this line goes, and it is the corner. In that way, the cornerstone was something that the rest of the building was determined by. If the rest of the building didn't follow the cornerstone, then it wasn't square. Now, another word we use for square in that sense is true. Is it true? Well, obviously, there's a lot of application here when you start thinking about Jesus as the cornerstone. Poorly made materials or warped boards or weak bricks or sloppy mortar would not pass inspection when looking at the cornerstone of a building. Because if it didn't match that cornerstone, then it wasn't fit to be a part of that building. Are we constantly measuring ourselves against the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ? What often do we measure ourselves against instead of Jesus? I'll tell you, one of the problems I have is I usually like to measure myself with other people. Do you ever do that? Do you measure yourself compared to other people? You know that if you measure yourself to Jesus, it's not going to turn out very well. So instead of that, who do you measure yourself to? Oh, that guy over there. Daryl, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to look right at you when I said that. You know, the fact is we don't often want to look at Jesus when we think about how we're doing. We often want to look at someone else and be able to say, you know, compared to them, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I have my problems and my issues, but I'm not like that guy. And, you know, we do that, and that's the nature of human beings. But God's plan is not that we look at each other and do that. Matter of fact, if you ever do that in building something and you compare one to the next one, it's not going to turn out very good. I built a fence one time. It was the first fence I ever built. I was pretty proud of it. I got the 4x4 squared up, you know, that I was going to put everything to, and then I put these nice stringers to it. It looked pretty good. And so then I started nailing boards. My father, who is a tool guy, allowed me to borrow his, you know, nailer. And it was a big pneumatic thing, and it made a cool noise every time you drove nails in there. And like a man with a tool in his hand, I got pretty excited and just started zipping those boards up pretty quick. Somebody yelled from the house, I think it was Latina, "Hey, back off and look at the fence." And it just kind of went like that. You know, it's kind of on an angle. Didn't follow the natural curvature of the earth either. It was my problem as I started measuring one board up against the other that I lost the line I was supposed to be holding on that fence. And I felt pretty ridiculous for that. Have we ever done that in our lives? We lost the line that we were supposed to be following in our Christian lives. And when we look at other people, well, I look pretty good. You know, that board next to that board, they don't look too far off. But when I back off and I compare them to what's supposed to be, it doesn't look very good. You think we ever do that here when we come to the church, when we come together? That sometimes we sort of measure ourselves against the wrong thing. I think it would be great for us, both personally and as a body of believers, to start to measure ourselves with the cornerstone that is Christ. And to see exactly where we don't do things the way we should. What other kind of things do we substitute as Christ for the cornerstone? I want to suggest to you there are some ways that we often measure ourselves that aren't really fair and accurate ways to do that. One is by work. Do you ever do that by your job? Well, I'm doing pretty good now because I'm doing well in my job. Do you ever feel that way? I think, you know, sometimes we do that. Now, work's good and it's great to have a job, but a job should not be the sum total of how we evaluate how we're doing today. What about family? You ever look at your family and that's how you evaluate how you're doing at the moment? Do you make all the choices in your life based on how it's going to impact your family? Because while family is important, I want to tell you here today, the family is not as important as Christ. The family never will be. Christ has to be the most important thing. What about stuff? Do you ever evaluate yourself by your stuff? Well, my bank account's pretty good, and I've got some nice things, and I drive a nice car, and I live in a nice home, so I guess I'm doing pretty well. Boy, it's easy to do that if we look at our world today. I fear the big cornerstone that we have put in place of Christ most often is us. It's self. Now, there's a fair warning here. I think the people who did not accept Jesus as the cornerstone, who refused to accept Jesus as the cornerstone, who put him on the cross because they wouldn't accept Christ as the cornerstone, those people were very religious, but they had someone else or something else in the place of Jesus, and there wasn't room for him in their life. And Jesus knew we would do this sometimes. Luke 20, if you have your New Testaments, go over there. And there's a parable that Jesus told about a vineyard. Verse 9 beginning, he went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, and he rented it to some farmers, and he went away for a long time. And at harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him up and sent him away empty-handed. Those not very good tenants, were they? So he sent another servant, but that one they also beat and treated shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. And then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I'll send my own son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. As you can imagine, when the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them, and then he asked them, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone'? Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." These people struggled to understand a lot about the nature of who Jesus was when he came. And Jesus here lays out a little story and really quickly explains to them, listen, the prophets came and God kept sending people here to try to get you to turn and to be what he wants you to be. But you know, that wasn't good enough for you. You kept killing those guys. You kept beating these guys up. You wouldn't listen to the prophets. And anybody who studied much Old Testament knows that that very thing is true. And so finally, God sent who? He sent the Son himself. And the Son, who maybe at times they loved him when he was feeding them, didn't he? They loved that Jesus. And they loved the Jesus who healed them of their infirmities when they were struggling and having a hard time. But the Jesus who came to them and said, "Listen, I am the cornerstone." If you have a building that has some other cornerstone, Abraham, Moses, those cornerstones won't get you there. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me. You know, that was not the answer that they were looking for. And they were not willing to set aside the cornerstone, whatever cornerstone that was, that they had yet put in the way of Jesus. And Jesus tells them something here that I think is one of the, I just think it's beautiful wisdom from Christ here. He says in verse 18, I want to read that again. "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." This is such a beautiful point. Now, do you get what Jesus is saying here? Jesus, I believe, is telling us, I am the capstone. I am the cornerstone. You don't have to vote me into that position. The world doesn't have to have a number of people who come together and decide that I'm the cornerstone. I don't need the grand history of time for all these historians to decide that I'm the cornerstone. I am the cornerstone. And I will fit in that place. And I'm the only thing that will fit in that place. Now, there's two choices that we have as those who would respond to this reality. We can either fall on this cornerstone and so be used by God in building a spiritual house where he will live, or that cornerstone will crush whatever is in his way. That's a side of Jesus that we don't often stop and look at. But that's what Jesus says. The one on whom this cornerstone falls will be crushed. You can't undo the reality that is Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord of all. That's the reality of Jesus. And we, with any imaginings that we have, with any plans that we come up with, any religion that lives in the world today, if Jesus Christ is not the chief cornerstone, it is not going to last. It will not stand the test of time. And it will certainly not stand the test of judgment. The reality is, Jesus says, you can either fall on me and be broken, or I'll fall on you and I'll crush you. But which one do we want tonight? Would we rather be broken, or do we want to be crushed? You know, in my mind, everything stands in favor of being broken, although it is hard, isn't it? Broken in our world today is not very valued. Broken means submissive. Broken means soft. Broken means emptying myself of what I am in order to become what God would have me to be. You see, in order to form us into the material that he has in mind for us, in order for us to be able to fit into a certain spot in the spiritual house that he wants to make with us, where he wants to live, the only way for me to be that is to submit myself completely with no other plan than to do what he wants. And I'm here to tell you, that's a hard thing to come by in our world today. It's hard to get to the place where we are so empty of ourselves that we're willing to let God have every part of who we are and turn us every which way but loose. And you know what? He'll do that sometimes, won't he? I know many of us have not wished to submit to some reality that we've had to in our life. And yet God says, I'm in charge, not you, Joe. So you might as well get over that. I'm going to be the one in charge. And you'd do well to listen and pay attention to me. We are tools in the hand of a workman. And that's God. And he knows what he wants to do with us. I have to say, sometimes I've actually prayed that God would go ahead and crush somebody. Have you ever prayed that for somebody? Maybe not with those words. But have you ever prayed, God, I wish you would drive them to their knees so that they will listen to you. I wish you would put them in a position where they have nowhere else to turn. And they would turn to you tomorrow. Have you ever prayed that for someone? I have. you know, maybe you're here tonight and you need to be crushed a little bit. Is this crushing you tonight? Is the cornerstone setting down on some part of you? If it's in the way, you know, if some part of you is in the way of Jesus, it's time to move and let Him be what He wants to be in your life. It's time to measure yourself against Him, knowing that He is perfect. Let's end back in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back over there again. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Thank goodness we get to end this passage this way. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God wants to give us a new identity. God wants to make us somebody different than we were to begin with. What have we ever been outside of God that's ever been so wonderful that we wanted to be that forever? I don't think anything. I think when most of us think back about being our own people and doing our own thing and having our own way, usually what we got was something pretty bad, wasn't it? It's something that we would like to forget about, usually. And God says, I want you to come to me, and I want you to submit to me, and I want you to give up your way. And whatever's in the corner of your life, the thing that is occupying a space that only my Son can really ever be in, get it out of the way. And let Him come in, and let Him be the cornerstone. And you become a part of the building that I'm building. God says, you can't fit me into your building, you see. You can't build a building and then have God be this one little part of a building. That's not where God has ever desired to be. God wants us to be fit into His building, you see. And He wants to dwell inside of us. He wants to live among us. And that's the space that He wants to occupy. So that we may declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are now a people. We're the people of God. Are you willing tonight to honor God by having Him serve as the one who makes you a part of His building? Are you a part of God's spiritual house tonight? If you're here tonight and you're not, let me tell you, there's no better time to do that than now. Come and fall on the stone, the cornerstone. Empty yourself of whatever it is that's getting in your way and let Him fill every part of you and change you. We can become something beautiful for Him. We can be used in the kingdom in a way that we never imagined. I dare to say there's people in here that could tell that story tonight were they asked to do so. The fact is that God has better plans for us than we can ever make for ourselves. And He wants us to follow the pattern of the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. That's what design He's got planned for each one of us. And if you're here tonight, you have any need, the church is here to help answer those needs, to pray for you. We'd love to see you baptized into Christ tonight to be the new person He wants you to be. If you have any need tonight, please come while we stand and sing.